Grace to you and peace. A few weeks ago, we celebrated our seventh grade milestone, the image of God. We talked about how it is that each one of us is knit together in our mother's womb and a reflection of how God created each and every one. We talked about the qualities and characteristics of God and who we are as beloveds of God. But my favorite part of the whole evening was when I asked the 20-some parents to turn to their kids and tell them their birth story. You know that story. It lives in mythology, right? Mine, I'll tell you, I know that there are 242 steps from the lower level of Lewiston, Idaho to the level the hospital's on. And my mom climbed every one of them. I know that I was Dr. Joseph Stipe's last baby ever delivered, and when it came time to set his cheese sandwich down, he did not set it on the cart next to him, but on my mother. I love these kind of stories. They tell us about who we are. They inform how we fit into our families. And in the last couple of weeks, I have been thinking about a story that was told to me 18 years ago. I was leading a Bible study the week that my oldest was to be born, and so everybody was telling the stories of their own births. And it was fun because there I was, 23, 24-year-old, not yet pastor, 50 years the junior of all the women who were with me. The youngest was in her mid-70s. The oldest, Ada, was in her mid-90s. She was there with the child about the story I'm about to tell you, driving her there, and that child had been retired for a decade. We told the stories, we had fun, and finally we got to Ada. Ada very much held court over this Bible study always, and she said, well, we need to back up just a little. And she said, first, you need to know that my husband is from North Dakota and I'm from St. Cloud. And so he came as a student to the university there, and I met him in church. Wasn't that just like the sweetest thing? And to use her word, we courted for a couple of years. They got married then, before his last year at school there in St. Cloud, and found out that fall, they would be welcoming a little one about the time that the school year ended. Now, because of circumstances, things that had happened in their lives, she had never been to his place. She was a high school kid the whole time they had courted. And so her parents had never let her go with this man in the 1930s to his place in North Dakota. And when it came time after a Minnesota winter for them to go, her dad said, yep, you can take my car and make the drive. It worked. Spring break was Holy Week. And they were so excited to go and to be with her family. But, she said, I was also really nervous. I never met lots of these people, the aunties and the grandmas. They didn't come to the wedding. It was mom and dad and a few others. And I never stayed in my mother-in-law's house. That's going to be weird, right? Do you remember that first time? It was weird, right? And so she wanted to make a good impression. And so there, at 8 months or so pregnant, or at least as she thought, she said, I'm going to go into the kitchen and help. And for a week, she was told over and over again what? Don't. Take a seat, rest. We've got it. And it was hospitality. It was the love of the aunties and the grandmas, of all the cousins and the people in that family, trying to say to her, you are here among us. You don't have to do this work. We care for you for who you are. They went to Good Friday worship, came home and had their soup. And a couple of hours later, she felt that first pain back here by a kidney, right? And she thought maybe the soup, something she wasn't used to, just wasn't sitting right. A few minutes later, she felt a sharper pain. Until before long, that pain had escalated and the frequency had really climbed, and she realized, I am about to have a baby. Problem. It was a month before everybody thought she was due. They did not pack what they needed to have a baby. There were no diapers or little ones' clothes. There were none of the necessities that you and I think, let's put in the trunk of the car and have, right? I was one of those neurotic dads at like 3 months. I started with the thing in the car. And as the pain grew, as they went through the night, they made it to the next morning, and her mother-in-law turned to her father-in-law and told him, go and get them. And he went to all of the neighboring farms in North Dakota, and he gathered those aunties and those grandmas. He gathered the women of this family that had welcomed her so richly, and they came. And they came not just to be with her, but with all the stuff. There were suddenly diapers ready for her. There was a place for her made in that room. I love this. You guys know this one, right? The bottom drawer of the dresser, pulled out, emptied, and made ready for little Norman. I read this week the Reverend Dr. Timothy Adkin Jones, and he said, what if the birth of the Christ child was more like that? I hear it as this rushed, emergent thing where every piece is falling out of place and somehow a child is born. But he said, go back and read the scripture. Does it say that? He says, after they had been there a while, it came time. This wasn't like dismount from donkey, water broke. Right? What if, instead of a mean innkeeper who shunned this couple because of the societal shame, sending them out to the barn in the back, the aunties and the grandmas pushed him out of the way and said, come in, child, come in. You don't want to be where Uncle Philip is because he snores. You don't want to be where all the babies are and all of their chaos. Let's find a quiet place, a warm place, a safe place for you. And they gathered all the things that this sweet little family would need. For me, what it does to hear the story of the Christ child born in that way is to give me a place in it. I have moments of crisis. I've been down that road where the world has felt like it was completely falling apart. And all that I could do was just hope for something in the midst of the storm. But if you know me just a little, you know that every day I'm awkward. You know that every day I am worried about other people, what they think, and how they'll react to me. You know that every day I deal with anxiety and depression, struggling to get up and get going in the morning. And when I think of the Christ child story in that way, in that sweet way, where the people who have gathered in that community make space for this miracle, for me there is deep hope. Hope that Christ will show up, not just in the very worst moments of my life, I know and I trust that, but every day. Every moment when I struggle to get out of my car and go into the next meeting or the next conversation, every time when I encounter something new and I worry about how people will perceive me, Christ is with me. And I think that's really good news for us all the time. But I think there's also a challenge. Because you see, as we go through this world, as we live this life, there are people like Ada, like Mary, like me, who are uncertain how God will show up. And you get the opportunity to help birth God's presence in their midst, to show up with just exactly what the person next to you, in front of you, needs that day. So hear good news. God is with us in the little moments, the little stresses, the strains of every day, in the big moments, the worries, the fears that feel like the world is collapsing around us. And hear this challenge, this opportunity to be that good news for the person who sits next to you, beside you, in front of you, and behind you every day. Merry Christmas. Amen.